This is Albert Grande from PizzaTherapy.com and LegendsOfPizza.com. What follows is an interview with Bev Collins, the creator of Secrets from Inside the Pizzeria. It's a step-by-step video course in how to make pizza. Bev was very revealing in this interview and held nothing back. The interview is sponsored by Secrets from Inside the Pizzeria. You can get it at PizzaTherapy.com at http://PizzaTherapy.com/secrets-inside. That's PizzaTherapy.com/secrets-inside. I think you'll really enjoy this interview with Bev Collins. She is a pizza master and held nothing back in this interview.
Hi, this is Albert Grande from PizzaTherapy.com and LegendsOfPizza.com. And I have on the line the creator of Secrets from Inside the Pizzeria, Miss Bev Collins. Hi, Bev. How are you doing?
Hi, Albert. Good.
You know, Bev, I got a chance to preview your great DVD. It's excellent. Lots of great tips about making pizza.
I'm glad to hear that.
Can you tell me a little bit about how you got interested in pizza? Maybe when you first had pizza?
Well, it might seem later in life to young people these days, but I didn't have pizza until I was 15 or 16 in high school, can you imagine? And a pizza place opened in our little town in the heartland of Iowa. And my dad says one night, well, let's go try this pizza. We went. It was wonderful. I loved it. Our family was a farm family. We didn't have much money. And I was delighted to find at the store Chef Boyardee and Appian Way pizza mixes.
Okay. Pretty low
That's
rent.
That's where
pizza.
I started.
Wow. Oh, so you started with Appian Way and Chef Boyardee. Interesting. So you came from a whole different direction of pizza. You started with kind of the low-end pizza and kind of went to the high-end pizza. What else happened in your life of pizza, Beth?
As I traveled around later and saw more pizzas, I started experimenting, making my own pizzas. And for some reason, I understood baking very well. That was a background that I had. So as I learned about bread making, I started transferring what I learned to pizza. But obviously, I still had a lot to learn because pizza and bread making are two different things.
Right. Okay, so how did you get into it? What happened?
I started experimenting with different flours, although I still had, until I went to work for a national pizza chain, I had never really hit on what really, the flour that really needed to be used, because that flour wasn't available at the grocery store. And Isn't that what most people do? They find a recipe that they can go to the grocery store and get what they need.
Yep.
Well, not everything you need to make a real thin crust pizza, Italian-type pizza, is available at the grocery store.
That's true. That's true. I thought that was one of the real keys of Secrets from Inside the Pizzeria. You do one of the best reviews of all kinds of flour. I mean, you talk about from the high gluten to, you know, it was kind of cool, and you end up even talking about people milling their own flour, and I've met people that do that to make pizza. That was kind of fascinating.
Yes, there were a lot of people really interested in eating healthy and even growing their own wheat sometimes. But, of course, working with that kind of grain where you're grinding your own wheat berries, you've got whole wheat, which is quite different from the typical pizzeria that makes their flour from, or makes their pizza from white flour.
Right, right. That's true. And that's been real hard to, I think a lot of people have tried to make whole wheat flour. There are some people that are successful at it, but it's real hard to do, I think.
Most people discover that if they're going to use whole wheat, they need to use it no more than 50%.
Yep.
You have to be a really dyed-in-the-wool nutrition person. Everything has to be whole wheat for you to like
right.
that, and some people do.
Well, Bev, what flour do you recommend for making pizza?
I like to use a high-protein or high-gluten, consider those equivalent terms there, that is grown in the north, especially the northwest, like you would have grown in Minnesota, the Dakotas, Montana, or Canada. That's mm-hmm. where the ideal wheat is grown. It's a spring wheat.
Oh, no kidding. So it's kind of, it's almost a regional thing then for the flour?
Yeah, yes, it is. You get down into, say, Kansas, that's winter wheat territory.
Oh, no.
Where you're
kidding.
Getting about a 12% or so, 11 or 12% wheat makes good bread flour. But that is not the strength you need if you want to make the pizzeria-style pizza.
Okay, so you need a high-gluten flour. That's a
yes.
key. One of the things you talk about, you review some of the actual Italian flours that are grown, like Caputo and Triple Zero. Are those good for making pizza also?
They make an entirely different kind of pizza. If you're making more of a Neapolitan-type pizza, you mm-hmm. get different characteristics there. And I always think of the first time that I was in Rome and I bought pizza from a street vendor, I was expecting something like you would get at one of the chain stores in this country.
Yep.
And instead mm-hmm. he spins out this thing so thin I can see through it.
Wow.
Puts the smear of sauce and cheese on it, puts it in. 2 minutes later, it's out of the oven. I pick it up, and the whole middle section is burned on the bottom, mm-hmm. burned black.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And I just have to start laughing. It's not at all like we're expecting a pizza to be when we're used to the American pizzas.
Yeah. I'm going to assume it was quite good.
But yet, yes, there was something that was very good about it. Instead of being this hunk of bread that you pick up like most American pizzas are, this had more of a fragile, crinkly texture to it. Entirely mm-hmm. different pizza. Immigrants came to America, and they did what all immigrants do. They find what the local ingredients are, they adapt to it, and then they make great whatever it was that they made in their homeland using native ingredients.
That's very true. My take on flour is a little bit of a different spin, but I say, you know, different flours are going to give you a different taste. So experiment with your kinds of flours. Use the flour that you like the best, that gives you your favorite taste, and whatever that is, whether that's high gluten or bread flour, whatever you like. And that's just my personal preference, but
I agree with you. One thing I've noticed: all-purpose flour has the most flavor.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever known? If you compared, say, you made three different pizzas, one with all-purpose, mm-hmm. one with bread flour, and one with spring wheat flour, they will taste entirely different.
Mm-hmm.
The younger you use the dough, the more mm-hmm. flavor the all-purpose one will have.
Oh,
so
okay.
That's why when you're using the high-gluten flour, it's all about technique.
Okay. All right. So you're going into another territory here, which is really, I think, the key about making great pizza. And that is, and you mentioned the young dough. So I'll tell you the truth. When I first started making pizza, I would make my dough. I'd let it rest for 2 hours, and boom, it was in the oven. And then I discovered through Peter Reinhardt that the best flavor that you can get out of pizza is proof in the fridge for a day or two.
That's right. But there's something important about the cold period, the retardant period.
Yep. Now you're telling me that you let it go longer than a day.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
And what's funny about that is, you know how pizza places advertise they make dough fresh daily, but in many cases, they're not using that dough fresh. They're letting it age. They may make it every day, but they're not using it that day. Good advertising.
Yeah, good advertising. And really, the best flavored pizza is proof for a couple of days.
Yeah.
And so that's I think that's a real big key. So more than
longer.
Just 2 days. Do you
or
do
even
3
longer.
Days or longer? Do you do 4 days, Bev?
I have talked to readers who go considerably longer than that. Now,
oh,
I think
no kidding.
There's an end point, but it's all about control of your yeast.
Yes.
If you put yeast in like we learned to do in bread making, it won't work.
Yeah.
Your dough will blow. It'll deteriorate. Everything is technique and timing and temperature.
Yeah.
So that you make your dough last.
Yeah. That was you had a really interesting technique too, because you started proofing the yeast at 15-110. And then you immediately, after a short while, you let it activate, then you put cold water in to bring the temperature back down.
So many people think you make a warm dough.
Mm-hmm.
When women went into the market, were still cooking. They were looking for fast ways to do things. And the flour companies came out with recipes you could make in 2 or 3 hours, sometimes less. So yep. Everything was about using lots of yeast. But they substituted lots of ingredients for flavor, butter, milk, eggs.
Interesting. That is really a fascinating concept. Talking to my friend John Arena from Metro Pizza in Las Vegas, he tells a story about going to Italy and seeing, you know, someone advertised, we proof our dough 48 hours, we proof our dough 72 hours, we proof our dough 96 hours. And he said that was certainly the best flavor. I've let it go, I think, up to 4 or 5 days without any problem. But you think you could do longer than that?
Yes. But okay. Isn't that funny? Because in this country, we're thinking the fresher, the better. I don't want something that's been sitting around for 6 days.
No. That was, I guess, my pizza aha or pizza revelation when I figured out that if you let the dough proof for a while, all the inside, all the ingredients of the pizza activates and really create a fabulous taste.
It's dependent on the breakdown of the carbohydrate, the end work of the enzymes, the byproducts. That's where the flavor comes from. Think about true French bread. It's water, flour, salt, and yeast. How much flavor is that? We think of that as wallpaper paste here.
Yep.
But think what the French do with it. It's the wonderful tasting bread.
Mm-hmm. Very true. You know, I want to talk about some of the other pizza tools that you mentioned. You have a great take on pizza stones. You really get into what some of the best pizza stones are and the pizza stones that you can use. And what I liked also, you said you can even use non-glazed tiles to make your pizza. I mean, if you want to go the real cheap the cheap method, correct?
Oh, for $5 or so, you can have an inexpensive pizza stone. And if you break one tile, it's easy to replace.
Yep. Yeah, I thought that was great. Another thing I thought, you mentioned a Fibramint pizza stone. Is that right?
Yes, it's a little thicker than the typical ones that you see. Uh-huh. If you've looked inside of a pizza oven, you've seen a gray stone.
Mm-hmm.
This is the same kind of thing,
except
it's not as thick as one that you have in a commercial pizza oven. You really don't want to take your home oven and heat this stone up for a couple hours before you make a pizza. You're probably coming home and you're wanting pizza in a short time. So this is a thinner stone, but still thick enough to really do the job.
Okay, that is great. You know, the other thing that you talk about again on the DVD, I want to say, people aren't aware of it. It's very interactive and it's a homey recording. It's nothing slick or I don't want to say it's professional, of course, but it's professional. But it's very homey, and it's very, you have a nice style about how you present yourself in that. And you talk about a number of different tools and other mixers that you can use and also food processors. Could you address that for a minute or two?
Mixers, they've really withstood the test of time. They're easy to use. They're easy to get. If you have repairs, it's easy to find someone to repair them. But there are other mixers very similar to the KitchenAid. If it has a good strong motor and a good bread mixing attachment, that's fine. And you can even do it in the food processor.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some food processors are a little stronger than others, but listening to what my readers say, they've used all kinds of food processors and done well.
Yep.
And that's pretty nifty because you put your ingredients in, and in about 90 seconds, you have a dough.
Yep.
Whereas it's going to take you maybe 4 minutes or so in the mixer once you start kneading it.
Sure. I've done both methods, and I'm still a hand mix guy, but I've used the KitchenAid. I have a KitchenAid. They're a real workhorse. They really do a great job on the dough, I think. And, you know, you can even use a bread machine, correct? You mentioned that.
That's right.
And that's a good way to get yourself started. If you don't want to get your hands dirty, you don't want to make the dough. I think that's really important. So you can use any of those things. And, of course, I like the fact that you talk about the only tool you need is really a bowl, right, to mix the ingredients. And you can do it by hand.
And you're sure to keep the finished temperature of the dough down, too. When you get into your quick working appliances like the food processors, you can heat up the dough an awful lot. But you got to remember that you don't want to deteriorate this dough because you're going to put soft cheese and toppings on it in most cases. And so you've got to, you don't want to lose the strength by having your dough temperature too high.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That is a really important fact, I think.
Probably one a lot of people miss because they're used to making bread. You start with warm water. You have your ingredients warm. You put it in a warm place to rise. That's bread making. That's not pizza making.
So you really need to be careful of rising that temperature of that dough, correct? You want to keep the temperature down as you mix it.
That's right. So if you're, say you're using, I have a Cuisinart food processor. I want to start with chilled water. Maybe I even want to put ice in the water to get it chilled down first because I don't want to end up with a high dough temperature. And you know that the food processor is going to put a lot of temperature into it.
That is really fascinating. I think that is a really important point. And I've made doughs that I think were done a little bit too high. I wondered why they got blown. This is, of course, my early days of pizza making. I don't do that anymore, but I had wondered what was the problem, and so that was the problem.
It's not even just blowing. It's that the heat deteriorates the gluten.
Okay.
So it's more than that. May I tell you a story? Interject story in here. It's about a reader that I heard from. It was 3 weeks after he opened a pizza store. He had owned a bakery franchise. He had owned a bakery franchise for 5 years. So he knew quite a bit about bread making. And then he had this opportunity to buy a defunct pizza store. And he thought, I know all about baking bread. This should be a no-brainer. He said he tried and tried, and he could not get a pizza dough. And then he came across my ebook, and it immediately made sense to him. He made up the dough, and he didn't even have time to try it out. He tried it out on his opening day.
Oh, no kidding.
And he said it was wonderful. Customers have loved it.
And that was why he couldn't get the secret was the dough was getting too hot.
He was trying to make bread instead of pizza dough.
Yes, and there's a real difference between bread dough and pizza dough. A lot of people miss that.
Yes.
And different
technique. Although more people, as they learn about making pizza, readers write me and tell me they're starting to apply some of these ideas to making bread, and it's improving their bread making.
Oh, no kidding. Great. Well, those are some great tips, and I think that is one that a lot of people miss because it's real easy to turn on your KitchenAid or your food processor and just let it knead the dough. You think it's kneading the dough, but if the dough gets too warm, it will not make good pizza. That's a great tip.
And then there's the consistency of the dough, too. You've got to hit the right consistency for what you want to make. Now, we were talking about the Italian flour earlier that makes a different kind of pizza. That has a lot more water in, and whereas the one I make is a much firmer dough. And I say, this should proof up about 50% and out about 50%. And if I use the amount of water in it that I would use in an Italian flour, it would just flatten right out, and all your gases would seep out.
Okay, interesting.
So sometimes you may have to contain a dough because you're using a different set of ingredients.
You know, and another thing that I like about Secrets from Inside the Pizzeria is the fact that you demonstrate how to make dough. You're showing the consistency of what the dough should be, and then you form it into a ball. Why do you do that, Bev?
You want to contain the gases, so you're essentially forming a skin, skin that's holding all this in. And when you pinch together on the bottom, you make sure that you don't have a hole up the center. So when you stretch or spin this out, you don't end up with a hole in the center of your dough. So there's the pinching it together, and the other is forming it to hold the gases.
Okay,
it's
that's
like
great.
If you cut a piece of dough, you don't have the same thing as a shaped dough where you've sealed it.
Another cool thing about your DVD is you get into how to toss dough. And you do a few tosses there, Bev, and you're not bad. You're not bad. What happened the first time
you
tossed?
When I ever did land it on my head. People sometimes write and say, I'm just not getting the hang of it. And I say, well, wait till you get to 100. You'll be doing much better.
Okay. You mean 100 pizzas?
Yes. By the time you've tossed 100, but actually tossing isn't the best idea anyway, because that thins out the center.
Yep.
Have you ever picked up a piece? Of course you have. Picked up a piece of pizza, and the whole thing just droops down. Everything slides off of it in center.
Well, we know a lot of tossing is mostly for show, not necessarily for technique. But it's still kind of cool.
Everybody needs to do that to show off for their family and friends.
You have a great technique where you kind of put it over your fists. You stretch the dough, and then you toss it up in the air.
Mm-hmm.
How long did that take you to learn, Beth?
Oh, it took me a long time before I could actually teach it to someone else. And finally, I had to do it with putting my hands at a certain position on the clock and unwinding them. And as soon as I did that, people got on to how to do it right away.
Yep. That is a great technique. I've seen dough tossing demonstrated a number of times, and I think that's a really cool technique.
Tony Gemignani do it. The world pizza tossing champion. Anybody who wants to make pizza should, and is having trouble stretching out the dough should watch him.
Oh, boy. No, Tony is just incredible. He really is amazing. He's an amazing guy. And he has, I'll pitch one of his products, which I think is great. He has a product called Pro Dough, which is a rubber disc. And in the product, I think there are three different DVDs, and he talks about how you can do different tricks. So you can really learn how to toss pizza without ruining pizza with that Pro Dough product. But I want to tell you a quick story about Tony. It's just kind of funny. He came to Hawaii one time. We met up for lunch, and I'm thinking of all the great Hawaii places I could take him, Korean food, sushi, you know, local Hawaiian pork lau-lau. And I'm thinking, he'll want some local food. And I said, Tony, where do you want to go to lunch? I want to have pizza. So we went and had pizza.
We're all that way.
So I'm thinking, God, he's 3,000 miles from home, and he still wants to eat pizza. We had a nice time. That was kind of neat.
You can eat pizza every day and not get tired of it.
Yeah, I think so. That's why I weigh 500 pounds, Bev. Bev, the other thing that I think another great tip is the temperature of the oven. I think that's real key. What temperature do you recommend when you cook pizza?
The highest you can get on your home oven. That's usually going to be at least 500. Here's another tip. There are so many ovens that have problems, and they show up when you start making pizza. I hear from readers who say, I just can't get my pizza to brown on the bottom. And I heated my oven for 45 minutes. Check if you've got a bad element.
Okay. That's a good point. So the oven may not have been heating up to the optimum temperature.
My daughter is a military wife, and almost every place she's lived, we've had to do something about the oven. The last one was a top-of-the-line brand model, and it didn't make the pizza right. Turned out it had been miswired. It was blowing heat into the room instead of heating the oven.
Mm-hmm.
You can just run into all kinds of problems with ovens, and they'll show up right away when you try to make the pizza. And if it's not browning like I say it should in cooking, there's probably something wrong with your oven.
Oh, that's a great tip, boy. So just check, make sure, and maybe if you have a thermometer in there, you can really check and see, is it heating up as much as it should? That's a great idea. That's really good. And heating elements aren't that much, or it's not that much to retrofit your oven to get it to optimum temperature.
No, usually you can just pull the old one out and plug one in, but often they're broken or something's wrong with it. It's no longer heating right.
Yeah, don't try this at home.
Or the gas burner as on the oven that we've got right now, it just starts slowing down.
Okay. There is a pizzaiolo who tricks the oven. I don't know if you've heard about him. He tricks the oven into like a cleaning cycle so he can get his oven up to 700 or 800 degrees, but I certainly don't recommend that, but that's certainly one thing you can do.
My husband would kill me for that. But he succeeded and he's doing quite well.
Okay, great. That's great. The other thing I think that's real important when you're talking about stones is that you heat them up long enough. And I think at least an hour is what I say. Do you agree?
When I have a really good working oven, I don't heat that long.
Oh, you don't?
I can heat my stone up in about 25 minutes. My oven slowing down, it takes me an hour. But again, if you're not getting the browning on the bottom like you should, and you've got the stone down low in the oven, then give it a while longer to heat up next time and see if that'll do it. Yep. People are preheating their stone 30 to 45 minutes mm-hmm. just to be on the safe side.
Okay. I'm going to still stick with an hour. I got a really weak oven, so I really need to crank it up as much as I possibly can. There's so much to Secrets from Inside the Pizzeria. Another thing, which I thought was really interesting, you have your own take on sauce. Can you address that a little bit?
Every sauce should be to an individual's taste, and everybody's taste is different. So I like to just start adding things one thing at a time in a certain order and see what that does for the sauce. I heat the sauce up first, so the spice and salt and pepper flavors will tend to come out quicker. It gives you a fairly good idea, but then you still mm-hmm. need to let that sauce equilibrate for about a day and then come back, taste it again, and see what needs to be changed. Keep records mm-hmm. of what you do. And once you arrive at the amount of salt, pepper, spices that you like, that becomes your personal recipe.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I probably like things a little more peppery than a lot of people do. But I have some readers write me and say, well, I had to double the amount of pepper that you had in your recipe. Someone
yep.
else will write and say, I had to cut everything in half, including the spices.
Interesting. I also got kind of a kick out of when you said that you can use white pepper for the front of your mouth and red pepper for the back of your mouth.
What, the black pepper will hit you in the front of the mouth.
Oh, the black pepper will hit you in the front.
The black pepper will hit you in the front of the mouth, and the red pepper will hit you in the back. So you may not think there's much twang there. And then after you've had a few bites, you say, ooh, wake up. Mm-hmm. The back of your throat's getting the red pepper because that comes on slowly. The red pepper in the back of the throat. Whereas the black pepper will hit the taste buds on the end of your tongue, and you'll get that right away.
Again, my take on sauce, as we called it in our family, there was a big debate. They called it gravy. You know, is it called gravy? Is it called sauce? So there was always a big debate around the kitchen table, and there is to this very day. But my take on it is that you line up 10 different people that make sauce or 10 different Italians, you're going to get 10 different sauce recipes, you know, that are in their family or whatever they like. And again, like flowers, I say, like you, whatever you like, whatever tastes good to you. I like the idea of keeping records, and that way you can say if you really finally hit on the sauce that you think is the ideal pizza sauce, you got it down. So I think
Albert, I was at a pizza place in Chicago that did thin crust, and I took some lick of their sauce and removed it as I could from the dough and the cheese, and I said, doggone, I think I know what this is. And I went home and opened a can of tomato concentrated soup, and that was it.
Oh, no kidding.
It was good.
Oh, no kidding. Oh, that's great.
Reader just recently write me and say he uses a tomato puree, some pepper, and balsamic vinegar.
My dad would make pizza for us when we were teenagers, and what he did for sauce, and I do this quite often, he would just use the stewed tomatoes, and just tomatoes out of a can, whole plum tomatoes, smush them up with a fork, and just spread them on the dough. And then, of course, he'd put fresh garlic and oregano or basil and pepper, and that was his sauce. And to me, it works. It's very simple.
Yeah. Sometimes simple sauces are the best.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, Bev, again, there is so much knowledge contained in your DVD. It's just fantastic. I want to let our listeners know that if you want to get a copy of Bev's Secrets from Inside the Pizzeria, I have a webpage at pizzatherapy.com, and the following webpage, it's http://pizzatherapy.com/secrets-inside. That's pizzatherapy.com/secrets-inside, and you'll get to my review of Secrets from Inside the Pizzeria. It's just a fantastic DVD. Bev, I want to thank you so much for talking to me. You've given me so many great pizza tips, but I want to talk a little bit about the pizza business. And you mentioned to me that a number of your readers have actually used the recipe to make commercial pizza.
I give the basics on how to make pizza and a recipe that I like, but I like to explain how you can alter this to make your own.
Mm-hmm.
Some people might want a sweeter dough, a spicier dough. They may want to use some sourdough or flavors in it. So once you understand the basics of this, that and the sauce, you can take this anywhere you want.
And then the pizza becomes your pizza, correct?
That's right.
Okay. You said one of your goals is to go around visiting some of the pizzerias that you've inspired. You've inspired a few different pizzerias around the country, correct?
Oh, it's been fun having readers write. I have one reader who opened a store in Oklahoma near Stillwater, and she got a truck bed and converted it into a pizza store, and she's doing wonderful. And someone from Stillwater, who's about 18 miles away, came over and tasted the pizza and said, "Would you do a fundraiser for us?"
Oh, wow.
She thought the pizza was so good that people would drive there to get it. This summer, I visited Sal's Neighborhood Pizzeria on St. Simon's Island. Oh, man, this guy has the brick oven, and he does not only pizza, he does the most wonderful Italian entrees and desserts you've ever tasted anywhere. He raised the bar way above anything I ever had before.
Oh, no kidding. What state is that in?
The St. Simons, Georgia, on St. Simons Island.
Uh-huh. Is it an actual island, or just that's the name of the city?
It is an island on the coast.
And so he's taken pizza to a whole other level.
Yes, and this guy is quite a character. He's the show as well as the food. He was a boxer back in the Rocky Marciano days. And he'll come out and shadow box with the customers. He just makes the whole thing fun.
Can you say his name again, please?
It's Sal's Neighborhood Pizzeria on St. Simon's Island in Georgia.
Fantastic.
He opened in January, and he expected a modest business. He's been doing five times what he thought it was going to be.
What is his name, Beth?
His name is Sal Sinicola.
And is he from New York?
New Jersey.
New Jersey, East Coast boy. Okay, great. Do you have any other pizza stories that you'd like to share, Bev? Sure.
I think maybe people listening would be interested to know that I've never had a store. I don't have a store background.
Okay.
My background is R&D. I work for a national pizza chain that is now both here and international. And my job was to write specifications, do quality assurance, do the research and development of a product, standardize the pizza, bring on new suppliers. So I got to see pizza more from an inside view of how the pizza is made. And so that's really where I'm coming from when I'm helping people to make pizza, is understanding the ingredients and what they do and what you can do with them.
Sure. A lot of people go from home pizza to commercial pizza. You went from commercial pizza to home pizza. You went in a totally different direction.
I realized that what was being done in the pizzeria could be done just as well, in fact, better at home. And I thought, people don't understand this. I would get on some of the pizza forums and cooking forums, and people would talk about pizza, and nobody knew. Nobody knew what it took to really do the pizza at home. And they would be looking on the Internet. They would find 10,000 recipes, and they all pretty much looked the same. In fact, occasionally I'll have someone who will purchase my Secrets from Inside the Pizzeria, and they'll say, "This looks like all the other recipes." And when you get down to it, it's flour, water, yeast, salt. That's pretty much it. You may have a few other things that you add into it.
Yep.
That's why I say it's all technique. It's bring out of the ingredients that makes the pizza.
I like that. I like that idea, that it really is. I mean, when you get down to it, every pizza has the same ingredients. We're not talking about any magical thing here. It's just that water, salt, flour, yeast, and, you know, I use a little bit of oil in mine. I know that you do sometimes in yours. But it's basically that. And so and the magic is really technique, what you do with those ingredients.
Yes. And you can come very close with bread flour and high-protein flour if you adjust the ingredients. It's just a total balancing act. The ingredients, time, temperature, technique.
Great. And that's the balance and the beauty of pizza. And
yes.
That's fantastic. That's what makes it great. Do you have anything else that you want to add, Beth?
I get excited letters from readers, and some of these I love hearing from a man or a woman who's in their 80s, and they've just bought the pizza ebook, and they're trying this out, and it's working, and they say, I've been trying to make pizza at home for 50 years and couldn't get it, and I did yours, and it came out right the first time. Now, that's not ordinarily what happens, because some people making pizza have never made bread or anything else in their life.
Sure.
They're not really.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
It's going to take a while for them to experiment and get the feel of it. But for people who have been trying this for years, they know how to do it. They just didn't have the right combination of ingredients and technique.
Yep. Well, I certainly thoroughly enjoyed Secrets from Inside the Pizzeria. I think it is a great resource for anyone that loves pizza. And as I say, you can teach an old dog new tricks. I've been making pizza for 20 years, and I got some great little tips from it. So for me, it was certainly worthwhile. And
I'm so glad to hear that, Albert, because that's the excitement I get out of doing what I do, is hearing from people who are so thrilled. And sometimes I'll get a letter, and they'll say, you can use this as a testimonial.
Mm-hmm.
And I just laugh, because I couldn't possibly use it as a testimonial. People would think it was made up.
Yeah, that's great. And, you know, I think the other thing really about pizza is, as you make pizza long enough, then it becomes your pizza, and it's your recipe, and it's what you put into the pizza that really makes it magical, I think.
That's the difference between teaching somebody how to do something and giving them a recipe.
Yep, that's true. Well, Bev, thank you so much for talking to me. Bev Collins, the creator of Secrets from Inside the Pizzeria, and you can find it at pizzatherapy.com at http://pizzatherapy.com/secrets-inside. That's pizzatherapy.com/secrets-inside. Bev, thank you so much for talking to me. I really appreciate you taking the time, and may all your pizzas be wonderful.
Albert, I'm always excited to talk about pizza. And it's been a delight talking to you.
Me too. Thank you, Bev. Take care.
Bye.